this week on Video Death Loop.
Godzilla!
Plus, hey, who needs Australia? Hey, everybody. Welcome to Video Death Loop, the one thing in this life, in your world, that you can count on to be there every week. Every week, without fail. Sometimes it's just nice to know, right, that someone's out there making it happen. I'm your host, Aaron Littleton. With me is your co-host, this time at least, Mr. John Hurst. How are you doing, John?
Aaron, I love that you just boomeranged it right back onto the podcast listeners. Like, oh, we were there every week. Where were you?
Yeah, what the fuck were you?
Yeah.
We were over on the second feed.
We were waiting in the park for you to show up. We were doing the podcast there. We were trying a new thing. That's what we were doing. We got worried for you, and you weren't answering the call, so we're back to the old format, the download format.
Yep. Yeah, we got picked up by Crackle temporarily. Turns out Crackle isn't real anymore. We accidentally sent somebody claiming to be Crackle a bunch of personal information. Mm. I don't recommend doing that.
There's a guy named Joe Crackle, actually.
Joe Crackle.
Not as cool as
inventor of Crackle.
Yeah. Just not nearly as cool as his name, though. He kept hitting us with the cane. He's like, where's the money? I'm like, ow, hold on. We'll get it to you. Gee,
does have my social security number now, though, which is slightly concerning.
All 9 digits.
Yep. All of them. All of the, even the secret last digit.
Ooh.
Wasn't it weird how I don't know when they started doing this, but maybe within the last 5 to 10 years, they suddenly decided that zip codes had 4 more digits on them, and fucking nobody told you what yours were.
Yeah, they're secret until you find them out, and then you just never remember them because you already got the first 5. You don't, like, it's like, oh, I'll figure that out some other time. And then I do not know my +4. Do you know your +4, Aaron?
I have no earthly idea where that comes from. None at all. I don't know it. The few times I have requested it, I have just went and found, or someone has requested it from me. I have found a piece of mail that someone sent to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, these people, apparently, I'll just trust them. They know my address. The U.S. Citibank company that wants me to take their credit card. They know my secret. So,
right.
Zip code. That was a strange. Supposedly it's for more efficient mail sorting. But I sure don't know what they're doing with that.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Like, I have it, like, if I order like vinyl records on the internet, and like there's like, oh, like you all use the same shop and all that. So when you like go check out, it's like, oh, you surely mean like this with these extra digits, right? It's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Does it get to my address? Yeah, I guess I did it right. If it goes to someone else's address, we'll find out, I guess. It's like,
I wonder how resilient the post office is to adding, just putting random digits there, right? Like, if you just put if you put like 42069, right, like after your zip code, what does that do if that's not your secret, like, post zip code number? Does it delay your mail? Does it not get there at all? Do they just ignore it? I don't know.
Well, if you put 42069, one, they automatically sort your mail, and it goes to a guy who sensibly chuckles at it before moving it onward. I think that's what happens. He goes, 420, and then goes on. Or sees the 69 first, whichever hits his fancy first.
Should we do this experiment? Should I send you 2 pieces of mail?
Okay.
One, or I guess maybe as a control, maybe I need to send 3 pieces of mail. Mm. One with just the standard zip code.
Right.
One with your correct secret zip code.
Mm-hmm.
And one with a fake made up secret zip code.
Is it?
And
no,
see
no.
what order they arrive at your house.
Mm. Is it when you say like the made up order, is it just like the plus four, just four random digits, or you
yeah,
doing,
like just for example. Yeah, it's me making up four random numbers, right? So if I like, let's just imagine your zip code is 45678. Okay. And then your secret numbers are 1234 after,
right.
After it. If instead of 1234, I put, I don't know, 6967, we'll put, it's 2026. It's got to be
love
6, 7,
kids
6,
love
7.
That.
They loved it last year. I don't know about this year so much.
It's still pretty good. Still pretty good.
6, 7 still in there. In the mix,
the trick is like it makes people mad, and it's like that's the part that's like, yeah, so
it does. And then we see which mail gets there first, second, and third. Okay. You know, I could mail it from just like some mailbox, like a public mailbox, and just see
that. Okay,
do I want to waste the price of 3 stamps and printing materials on that? I'm not sure, but I might.
I'm just excited you're sending me mail. I never get mail from anyone. So
who does?
I actually thought about, like, on my last trip, it's like, maybe what if I sent postcards to people? And then I was like, I don't know where I could buy a postcard or where to buy stamps, and this is too much work. So yep. Your guys are not getting anything but Facebook status updates. That's what you're getting.
Well, when you got back, I got a Famicom Disk System game.
You did.
So not exactly beating the accusations of being two old men, we wrap up our conversation of zip codes and mail.
Famicom discs.
And Famicom discs. Into our, you know, here we are. Time to actually do the thing that this podcast is ostensibly doing, which is to watch a short video clip on loop until we can't take it anymore. Host, do you remember that? You remember that's what we do? I know it's only been like a week since we last did this.
Oh, yeah. It tickles a memory, but I'm pretty sure, yeah, that seems correct. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do that. As the host, I get to pick out the video. I know what it is. As the co-host, John does not know what it is. And I'll be starting this video in 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, what do you got for me here?
It's a movie trailer.
Oh, I love it. It's a green one. It's a safe one. Safer work.
It's from TriStar.
Ooh.
We see a man. He's in a train station.
Okay. All right.
He hears something outside. Keys are jingling. We get the cool late 90s movie voice guy.
Mm-hmm. We need more of him, by the way. We need bring him back, people. Like,
Didn't he die?
Bring him back!
Terribly.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if movie voice guy died.
I hope not. If so, I'm very sorry to hear it because he has a great voice. But we need to bring back the guy. Oh, it's Godzilla. Hey, what's up?
Dude, this trailer. Let me tell you something. This is the trailer for Godzilla 2000. Godzilla 2000 is a pretty good Godzilla movie. The trailer for Godzilla 2000 is also a pretty good Godzilla movie.
This is insane. I don't remember. Okay. Full disclosure, both Aaron and I have seen Godzilla 2000 at different times, like on that when it came out. I don't remember anything of this from the film, though. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's I actually just
summer. It's just in summer. What year? It's in the movie.
It actually isn't. It came out in 1999.
What?
Godzilla came out in 1990. Godzilla 2000 came out in 1999.
Okay. I guess I gotta get ahead. I get it.
It's so the the artistic value of the Godzilla 2000 trailer is that it's done, like we sort of alluded to, in a kind of late 90s like super badass movie trailer style, that like a Mission Impossible 2 or something, along Terminator 3, something like that. It's like Godzilla, so like they're really bending things to make this make sense, to the point where they use a Rob Zombie song in this trailer. Super Beast specifically.
Yeah, that totally is. I did not. Good catch.
And it is just, it's just something else. It's just something else. I mean, I get why you do it like this, right? Like you're trying to show cool explosions and stuff. I mean, it's Godzilla.
Yeah.
It's Godzilla. I mean, Godzilla can survive anything you throw at him, whether it be aliens or movie trailer theming.
Yeah, I still love that it just says summer. It just like, it's like, you know when it's coming out. It's coming summer because it's fucking Godzilla. That's what it is.
It's coming out on the same weekend as other movies that people are not interested in this summer.
This is
we don't want bats to eat our lunch.
No. This is in an important era. This is the first movie that came out post Godzilla 98, which is if you ever look at online with the eras of Godzilla, you got the Showa era, you got the Heisei era, and you got the fuck you era, which is, this is clearly in because they hated Godzilla 98 so much. It's like, we're going to show you how to make a freaking Godzilla movie.
It's very, yes, as so, like, so the reason I've been thinking about Godzilla 2000 recently is not because I watched it in theaters as a youth, but because I was trying to find a Godzilla movie to watch with my 10-year-old child.
Okay.
And most every Godzilla movie is rated PG-13. I think maybe a couple, maybe Shin Godzilla's are, the Godzilla 2016, the one with Breaking Bad man in it.
Oh yeah,
he was in there for 20 minutes. As well.
Yeah,
but Godzilla 2000 is just rated PG, which seemed like, you know, kind of reasonable enough to show a 10-year-old.
Okay, I would see it from what I remember and what I've seen from the trailer. If I was 10 years old and I saw that trailer, that's the coolest goddamn thing I've ever seen.
It was fun. Yeah, no, she loved it. She loved it. There was no doubt about it. Like, she fucking loved Godzilla 2000. It was a good time. Mm-hmm. You know, she was like a little scared at first of Godzilla, but then eventually she's like, oh, Godzilla is cool to watch, not scary to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she figured it out. She figured out what was going on with Godzilla. But I watched it, and it's a perfectly, some people I think, like, I don't think anyone dislikes Godzilla 2000, but it's very like across the plate as far as like a Godzilla movie goes.
Right.
You get Godzilla sort of smashing some stuff on his own, and then he does fight like an alien guy at the end. You know, it's cheap, man. You can tell they made this movie on the cheap. Everything is just green screened on top of one another, but like in an awesome way.
Yeah. And like, but I mean, they know what's going on. Godzilla's firing out like his plasma beams at everything and everyone, mostly at the alien monster. But if you know what, he probably like, they were like, let's show every one of those scenes in here because we got to get people excited about Godzilla.
Is Godzilla your favorite big monster man, or do you have another big monster man that is your favorite?
I mean, are you including other Godzilla monsters in terms of that, or are you just talking about Godzilla as the franchise? Godzilla definitely favorite big monster series on there. But I got opinions about some monsters.
You could have a favorite big monster guy from elsewhere in the Godzilla movie. I mean, if you said no, I like Gamera because he's a friend to all the children, like, you know, okay. I would accept it. I guess, like, is there another kaiju from any walk of life that you prefer to Godzilla?
Oh man. I'm trying to think right now with this. I kind of a fan of the, like, in terms of, like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, when I keep going back, I just keep thinking about Godzilla monsters. And you and I had a conversation not too long ago, actually, about which, like, you were, because you were talking about, like, which Godzilla movie you should show your daughter.
Yes, and all that. And this is the one I landed on, Godzilla 2000.
And, like, that seems like a perfectly good choice on it. The monster he's fighting against, it's just, yeah, he's just this goofy little alien guy. Not a great monster. And, in fact,
but
a lot of
but he does evolve, right? Okay. He does evolve during the... It is, okay, it is cool because the fight has, like, basically... Okay, spoilers for Godzilla 2000. If you were like, man, I can't wait to get home tonight and watch Godzilla 2000 for the first time. Okay, this is probably the point you want to turn the podcast off. But the monster is like an alien spaceship. And after fighting it for a while, it becomes like a weird kind of like... He looks like a heel slime from Dragon Quest, honestly, like some kind of a jellyfish kind of man.
Yeah, yeah. There's like
then the spaceship comes back, and Godzilla, even though it like evolves into the jellyfish man, like somehow some part of the wreckage of the spaceship comes back, and Godzilla has to fight the big jellyfish and the spaceship at the same time, and then the jellyfish man somehow absorbs some of Godzilla's cells and becomes this weird Godzilla clone, and then Godzilla's got to fight the clone too. So it's like, you know, it is the last. Okay. It has stages, right? It definitely has the like, this isn't even my true form.
Yeah.
A couple of times.
All right. That's fair. And that goes into what we were talking about, another film, Godzilla versus Megalon, which was on MST3K. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's a great film, but as a Godzilla film, I love it because it's just a tag team fight. It is Godzilla and Jet Jaguar versus Gigan and Megalon on that. And it just like set up like that. It's the last 30 minutes of the film is just them on the set, just doing tag team moves off the top rope at each other. And I love every bit of it. And Gigan is just your perfect heel wrestler. He's just an asshole. He just wants to cause trouble. Gigan's my favorite kaiju, Aaron.
Okay, what does Gigan look like? I don't know. I can recall him from just his name.
He's got like claw arms, like he doesn't have like hands. He has like just claws, and he has a buzzsaw blade in the middle of his chest that he can use if you go up close to personal, give him a bear hug, he can just use it and like get the buzzsaw the crap out of you with.
Okay, I need to Bing Gigan. He sounds awesome. Like yeah. I have to say, like the way you're describing him, like a man.
He's
with,
probably
like,
not as awesome as I describe him, but he's just every time he shows up, he's just a jerk. He just.
I wish I had any way of guessing how to spell that.
Gigan. Gigan.
Okay, I tried with a Y in there, and that Bing did found nothing.
Yeah.
And he okay, yeah, that guy's all right.
Yeah, he just comes out and he causes havoc, and Godzilla's like, "What are you doing? We're gonna fight now." And then they fight. It's great. I think
has he been around for more than that one movie?
He's been in like two movies, and I think he's been in a couple others in the later ones, like after Godzilla 2000, they did Final Wars, where they brought back all the kaiju, and they have like a super powered version of him coming out that looks kind of badass. But he's showed up a couple times, but he's been sparingly used, I think.
Okay, but he's like acknowledged. He wasn't like a one off. Like I don't know, let's just sort of smash some monster parts together and see what we come up with, and Godzilla can fight him for this movie.
Yeah,
it did, man. Like what if you ask me, like what is my like dream job? It is to be like somehow ensconced in some franchise that has like endless, you know, not necessarily endless amounts of money, but that every like if you make a Godzilla movie for $5 million, it will make $6 million. And then you can just keep making them constantly. Right. And just keep like iterating in the stupidest ways possible.
Right.
And I feel like you were saying, like some of those eras, Godzilla definitely hit that level where it was like, he's past his prime, but he's got some amount of like cultural you know, just popularity. Right. That you can throw a Godzilla movie out there, people are going to see it. Yeah, sometimes you got to come up with a weird dude named Guy Gan, and he's like a claw man with buzz saws.
Yeah.
on his chest. But yeah, you could just like ultimately you use it to have a big tag team wrestling match between dudes in rubber suits. Like that is what I want out of my life, honestly.
Yeah, I mean that, and the best part, like my favorite thing about Godzilla is like even like the ones that are bad, there'd be like the next movie, it's like, well, that was weird. Back to Godzilla, I guess.
Yeah.
And like there are, like, don't get me wrong, like the later like Godzilla films, like Godzilla Minus One is magnificent on there. Mm-hmm. Like that's not even joking around. That's a great film as a film on that. But there's something about these like Godzilla 2000 where people are chasing around and they're fighting off, like they're fighting between and all that. Just, I don't know. Good monster movie.
Does humanity have any chance in reality against the Godzilla?
Oh, they try, don't they? They
No, I mean in reality. Mm-hmm. In reality, it doesn't have to be Japan. It doesn't have to be Tokyo that Godzilla shows up. I'll let you pick where is a Godzilla showing up?
Oh,
what city is he attacking? And is there any way that humanity beats Godzilla?
Oh, easy. We live in Oak Ridge, like near Oak Ridge, Tennessee, on there, okay, where like the nuclear power plants, like, or you know, like the uranium bomb was created on there. Like that just writes itself on there. And no, we don't have a chance. Knoxville is just like, maybe, you know what? I think Knoxville may have a chance, like our city on there around the area, because it's not really that huge overall, and it may just get ignored because it like goes elsewhere.
You could drop the sun sphere on him. You could knock the sun sphere out and use it like a big mace, right? Like hit Godzilla with the sun sphere. It might work. Probably won't, but it might if we had a big robot man. What is the best case scenario? Like for humanity, if you got to pick, like, okay, you get to pick where Godzilla is attacking.
Okay.
What's the best case scenario for humans in reality to beat Godzilla? And you basically get to pick where he attacks first.
Okay. So this is a hell of a board game idea, by the way, Aaron. Like where we started on there. I get Australia? I think we put, well, you, what if we put Godzilla in Australia?
Are you just sacrificing the people of Australia
to
Godzilla?
No, but they, you know, I don't know. They got a lot of poisonous stuff down there. They might have a chance. Oh,
you think the fauna, you think humans and like Tasmanian devils will team up and fight? It sounds awesome. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. If you mutated, okay, let's say if Godzilla's attacking, we have to understand that there's like
giant
something to create Godzilla, right? Mm-hmm. That like I guess you could potentially, you know, irradiate a kangaroo to Godzilla size. Does like a Godzilla size kangaroo could that beat Godzilla?
That's a pretty good battle, honestly. You know, tail versus tail, kind of hopping around on there. Like, you know, maybe I'd be able to outmaneuver Godzilla on there.
Yeah.
Maybe has a tiny little kangaroo in the pouch and also beats up Godzilla if, like, as interference. Pretty good.
What if the tiny kangaroo was the part of the irradiated kangaroo that could shoot atomic breath?
Oh,
so
shit.
Like the main kangaroo's hopping around, you know, boxing and kicking and stuff, and then every now and then, like the Joey kangaroo comes out of the pouch and shoots a blast of atomic breath.
Oh, that's so good, because that like Godzilla would have to figure that out at some point, and then find like the part like a punch out bat boss. Like you find the timing and then punch out the Joey.
yeah, you really do have to. I mean, you really do have to. I mean, but if the kangaroo wins, then you do have an atomic powered kangaroo that's Godzilla size that you got to deal with at that point.
That's true. Have you seen how big some of those construction quarry vehicles they have out in Australia, like the Tonka trucks that they have.
I don't know how big they are compared to Godzilla, but they do seem pretty big.
Do you remember a couple of episodes ago, you know, just a couple weeks ago, Aaron, by the way, that man-made wave pool that we talked about?
You're right. Could we lead Godzilla to the Bone Smasher 4000?
Yeah. And you get close enough to it, it's going to smash any bones, and that includes gigantic kaijus. It doesn't matter what gets in there. You are dead.
I will say that my inner fear fears that thing more than Godzilla.
True, same, honestly.
I feel like I've seen enough of Godzilla that sometimes he's the good guy, right? Like, sometimes Godzilla's just showing up and, like, smashing up a city. And then sometimes Godzilla shows up and defends humanity. Yeah. So it's like you don't know what Godzilla you're dealing with, right? Is he, like, friendly Godzilla or is he mad Godzilla? You don't know. But, like, I know for a fact that the cold, hard machinery of the Bone Grinder 7000 cares not for me or anything else.
No, it has no feelings. It cannot change its whims. It only wants one thing, and that is your bones.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I mean, Australia might be the place. And again, I guess I go back to the worst-case scenario is you just sort of sacrifice Australia for the rest of us, right? Because it's a whole continent. I think Godzilla should be reasonably contented with a continent.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sorry, Australia, in advance on this, but, like, a lot of Australia is built around, like, the outline of it, the circumference of
it. Sure, the coast, yeah.
Yeah, if you put a Godzilla in the middle, how long do you think it's going to take before anyone realizes it, honestly?
It might be a bit. I mean, if you're saying that you're dropping Godzilla, you know, like, you've picked him up with some sort of big mouse cursor and you've dropped Godzilla into the middle of Australia, it's going to take him a while to get anywhere particularly interesting. Here we are throwing shade at the Australian outback. I'm sorry, Australia. I'm sure it's great to be out there in a featureless desert full of kangaroos and koala bears with herpes. I bet that's awesome.
Yeah, we might get other mutated. If we got a mutated koala, that's not going to do anything but give, like, mutated chlamydia. So it's
What STD do all the koalas have now?
I believe it's chlamydia. Yeah.
Is it chlamydia? Yeah. That's so much funnier than herpes. I'm sorry. The idea that, like, koalas have herpes, I'm like, okay, that's pretty funny. But the idea that the koalas have chlamydia, that's good. I mean, because I don't even know. You can't even, like, blame. I'm sure we could. But it feels like it's not humans' fault that all the koalas have chlamydia, right? Like, sometimes you're like, oh, it's so funny that, you know, X or Y with an animal. And they're like, well, actually, that's because of habitat loss or something. You're like, oh, yeah, that is our fault. Fuck, that's not funny. That's sad. But the idea that the koalas just all gave each other chlamydia and it had nothing to do with us, that's fucking good.
Yeah.
That puts a smile on my face.
I feel like a lot of what, like, cool. If anything, humanity is responsible for the extension of the life of the koala more than anything else, because it probably should have been de-evolved at some point.
Yeah, the chlamydia, the koalas, they were all monogamous, and the chlamydia didn't spread as quickly before we started showing all the koalas pornography, and then they got very exciting.
Someone left a magazine out in the outback and the koala just got really horny.
Yep. Maybe that makes Godzilla just leave. He's like, wait a minute.
The owl, gross.
Is owl horny? Are these STD riddled koalas? I'm out of here, man. Back to the ocean with me. Fuck all y'all.
Just make a beeline for the ocean. Doesn't matter what's in the way. Just like,
No. You guys keep doing what you're doing. I'm actually fine with all of this atomic testing stuff. Clearly you guys have got some shit going on. It is the least of your worries. So peace out.
Raises his little Godzilla arms. Just like, I'm out of here.
No. We're good. And I'm tapping.
All right. You know, some say that there's a little bit of Godzilla in all of us, Aaron.
They do say that, and I tend to agree with them.
Mm. Well, how did your daughter react to that line at the end, or did she anything?
I don't think she quite realized how stupid that line was. Godzilla 2000 has the best ending line, which is just Godzilla's just sort of like raging and blowing things up, and a man mm-hmm. is like, maybe Godzilla's in each of us. Or so, I mean, it's like it's trying to somehow have some poignant end. It fails entirely at having that. And I don't know, that might not be in the original Japanese. We definitely watched the dub.
Yeah.
Which is classic Godzilla style, and that they make next to no attempt to make the dubbed lines match the mouth movements of the actual actors. It's just like whatever the fuck they translated it as. Someone said that and they put it at that time and it doesn't mm-hmm. link up at all. At all.
Oh, nice. But yeah. I'm glad, first of all, thank you for showing me that trailer. That was a joy. That made me want to watch Godzilla 2000 this weekend. I'm not going to lie.
You absolutely should watch Godzilla 2000. All of you should. It's Labor Day. We're coming into Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And what better thing to do on Labor Day weekend than watch Godzilla 2000?
Yeah, it's not 2,000 of them. There's just the one, but it's a pretty good one.
It apparently kicked off a trilogy of Godzilla movies that's known as like the Millennium Trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Final Wars is a part of that. It might be.
I think so. I don't remember the other ones in there. The only reason why I know Final Wars, it's by the person who directed Versus, which was kind of crazy Japanese horror action flick at the time. And I remember just like, yeah, you have a budget, go crazy. And I think I don't remember anything about it otherwise. I just remember being just a little crazy.
Yeah, I need to watch that. Well, that's it. We did it. Just like last week, just like the week before that, you know, we did
Aaron,
it.
Aaron, I got to say, it actually works a lot better when we're not getting kicked out of the park at the end of it, like Joe Crackle told us to do.
Yeah, that was Joe Crackle is not a guy you need to be doing business with.
No. He mentioned that he was like an SEO manager and it could give us the hits and all that. And like, you know. I don't believe him anymore. I don't think that was the case.
I don't think so either. I think that man might have been a scammer.
I'm not sure about that yet, but you know, we'll find out. We'll find out. We'll investigate.
We'll see. We'll see. But folks, thanks for sticking with us over this long unexpected break. I'm glad to be back. I apologize for being shitty at doing our podcast. It was fun. It was fun. I'm glad to be back. Hopefully we'll be back next week. Don't see a reason why we wouldn't be at this particular moment. Mm-hmm. And if we are, when we are, John Hurst will be your host. I will be your co-host. And I won't know anything that John has planned for you or for me. And that'll be the fun of it. In the meantime, send us an email if you want questions at videodeathloop.com. You can follow us on Blue Sky, I think.
That's what it's still called right now. Yeah, it's still called that, I think.
Yeah.
For now.
Yep. Bisky.app. I won't call it a great website, but it is a website.
You can communicate with people on the website. That is true.
Ostensibly, right? Don't recommend it, but you can. God, we're so bad. If we had representation, if we had some sort of manager that was like, maybe you all shouldn't make social media sound like the death of society every time you talk about it. People might be more interested in interacting with you on there.
Hey, look, if you're listening to the podcast right now and you have a Blue Sky account, follow videodeathloop.bsky.social on there and say that Joe Crackle sent you. I just want to see. I want to do a test here. I want to see if that works.
Yep. Folks, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.